And of course, humans aren't the only ones sweating climate change. Global warming is wreaking havoc on ecosystems from the tropics to the poles. And for a look at how wildlife is coping, we're joined by Vicky Croak, who covers all things animal for us at Here and Now. Hi, Vicky.
Hey, Jeremy.
And I think the first animal many people think of as one of the ones that most affected by climate change is the polar bear. Is that accurate?
It is. Even serious scientists say the polar bear is the poster child for climate change. The bears make a living mostly by hunting seals out on the sea ice, and that ice is in trouble. There's less and less of it in summer, and summer conditions are lasting longer. So just last week, we learned from the National Snow and Ice Data Center that this summer was a bad one for melting ice in the Arctic. In fact, it was tied for second worst on record. And the center's director told the Associated Press that he wouldn't be surprised if Arctic summers were ice-free by the year 2030.
Wow, which is just 15 years from now. What happens to the polar bears if that happens?
All kinds of things could happen. On the optimistic side, maybe we'll see some polar bears, depending on the area, adjusting, eating other things like snow goose eggs and musk oxen where they can and where there may be alternatives, but it's not straightforward and we don't know what's going to happen. There could also be some surprising results. Have you heard of so-called growler bears or pizzlies?
No.
That's what you get when polar bears and grizzlies mate. Mm. And with climate change, they're coming into more contact. So far, we're just seeing a handful of cases.
So that's what's going on in the Arctic, which of course is not the only environment where animals are being affected by climate change. What are we seeing elsewhere that may not be so immediately obvious?
So climate change, the melting ice, sea levels rising have global impact and affects everything from weather patterns to ocean temperatures that you've been talking about around the world. And for animals everywhere, things are changing. Cod, lobsters, starfish, bears, bugs, from the tiniest animals to the largest. To get our minds around the scope of it, I spoke with Carl Safina, the renowned conservationist. And chilling as it is, he gave an amazingly easy-to-understand picture of how climate change is moving animals around. Let's listen.
It's like the tropics are expanding north, and things that live in the tropics will be pushed toward the poles, and things that live at the poles will be pushed off the planet.
Pushed off the planet sounds pretty ominous. Are we already seeing that kind of movement in animals that he's talking about there?
So how about one kind of bird who's now nesting 1,000 miles north of where it ever had before? I just 2 days ago got a kind of stunned email from the Wildlife Conservation Society saying that Caspian terns have made this huge jump. And WCS says it's just one example. Fin and humpback whales are spending more time in the Arctic. Species like the red fox and brown bear more routinely coming into contact with Arctic foxes and polar bears.
And what are the consequences of that?
It's just one of the many million-dollar questions scientists have. Red fox taking over Arctic fox turf or Caspian terns affecting local fish populations, we'll see.
Are there any animals doing better under these changing conditions?
Well, of course, mosquitoes come to mind. Hmm. But also Wildlife Society is reporting that a new study indicates that the northward march of white-tailed deer into Canada's boreal forest is more about climate change than anything else. So white-tailed deer range is expanding and wild boars are gaining ground in Europe.
And, of course, not all animals can just relocate.
No, it's tough for lots of animals to move out of where they are. Habitat's fragmented. Giant pandas depend on those bamboo forests. Elephant populations are being squeezed, so where can they go? And it's especially important now to expand programs that create those green corridors and passageways for wildlife. It's very much on the minds of managers of our national parks and every wildlife conservation group.
That's Vicky Croak, who hosts the Wildlife blog. We'll link you to that at hereandnow.org. And when you go there, you can also find all the rest of our stories from our week-long climate change series. Vicky, thanks as always.
Thank you, Jeremy.